Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Wow, what a year for the Chicago Cubs. It's exciting, all things Wrigleyville right now. A new photo exhibit is hitting Wrigleyville on Thursday in the G-Man Tavern north of the Metro, the former Gingerman. It's photography from longtime photographer Andy Jeffione. Came so close. I was working so hard on that. Andy documented more than 300 Cubs homes games stretching from 1996 to 1999. In that time, the Cubs made some amazing history. Whether it was a 20-strikeout game for Kerry Wood or the Sammy Sosa home run chase, the four-year period definitely was painted Cubby blue. It was also a time that featured the passing of Harry Carey and Jack Brickhouse, as well as some records in futility, as any Cubs generation would have. The exhibit is called Searching for the Pink Poodle, Life with the Cubs 1996 to 1999, and the photographer Andy Jeffione is in studio with me now. Andy, thanks for being here.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Let's talk about this. So where did this idea come from? It's such a specific period of time when it comes to Chicago Cubs baseball, 1996 to 1999. Where did the idea for the exhibit come from?
Well, that was the time period that I was shooting with the wonderful team photographer, Steve Green. I was fresh out of the School of the Art Institute and looking to sort of get away from the art world. And I thought, you know, what is my other love? Baseball. And my first apartment was Addison Broadway. Moved there because I was close to Wrigley Field. So I was like, you know what? Let me see if I can kind of get in there and see what's doing. And met Steve Green after writing him a letter. We met and started working on some freelance stuff together. And eventually he's like, you know what? You can come assist me here and there. Little by little, I'm there every day.
And you were young. I mean,
I was 22 years old.
22 years old, taking photos of Major League Baseball players. You know, I don't know much about locker rooms and the field and how players are. But the little I do know is that they can be somewhat prickly.
That's a good word for it. I think I had a lot of naivete, which helped because I didn't really think like, oh, it's a big deal, you know, hey, if I get in the clubhouse, that's cool. If I don't, you know, I can still do my job. And I think because I sort of had this comfortable kind of attitude, I was able to be in some really special places. Like after the 98 wild card, I was in the clubhouse. I got champagned. I mean, that was a highlight to, you know, even though I'm trying to keep my gear from getting wet, it was right. Like, this is the greatest.
You know, for you, I mean, to put these photos in there, and they're really great photography of just sort of normal life. I mean, there's a lot where there's just players hanging out. Talk about what you're going for. What's your motif when you're putting together a photography exhibit about these specific 4 years?
I think being that this show is a block away from the ballpark, I really tried to curate things to tell the story of that four-block radius, you know, the Waveland, Addison, and Sheffield, Clark. I mean, the people, you know, the Ball Hawks, the fans and the bleachers. It was more than just the ball players. It was like the whole thing, Wrigley as its own entity. And I tried to really capture the best and the most storied parts of that 4 years.
It's amazing, too. We were just talking right before we went on about how that 4 years, which is really 20 years ago, and it's modern history for Chicago Cubs fans, but that four-year time stretch has so much of what Cubs history is all about, whether it be Kerry Wood's game, as we mentioned, Sammy Sosa in the home run chase, and like you said, a 98 wild card run was in there.
Amazing.
But also just, you know, a changing of the guard, if you will. Wrigley Field changed in the way that we saw different sort of audiences, and we've seen so many different people come through there. But talk about that, because, you know, you don't think about it when you first think about the late 90s in the Chicago Cubs organization, but it was definitely a time that will be remembered.
Absolutely. I think after, you know, the 94 strike season, baseball was not exactly on everyone's thoughts. You know, people kind of were backing away from baseball. So it took some time. And it wasn't until really that 98 season that you really got the casual fans back. So 96, 97 was kind of a struggle as far as attendance, as far as playing. It was an interesting time because I think that's why I was able to do a lot of the things I was able to do. There wasn't this grand stage for the Cubs. It was kind of like, yeah, you know, Tribune was owning them, and it was kind of like, yeah, if it ain't broke, just kind of do what you do. And it opened up this area to really kind of explore the game without there being a lot going on.
What did you know as a young photographer at the School of the Art Institute? What did you know about sports photography? What did you know about the lore, even around baseball photography? Because you will see some amazing photography coming from the 70s and 80s. I have a vivid image of Reggie Jackson and you know, like, and Oakland A's and that kind of thing. Like, what did you know about? What did you know about sports photography getting into it?
Well, you know, I always say that my love of baseball was sort of born sitting at my parents' kitchen table, trying to do my homework and listening to Richie Ashburn and Harry Callis. Yeah, I grew up in Philadelphia. And I would just kind of drift off, and they would paint such a beautiful picture of the game that I was there. I was at Vet Stadium. And that's where my love started. It kind of drifted a little bit when I went to art school, and, you know, sports weren't exactly on everyone's mind. And
there probably weren't too many classes for sports journalism at the Art Institute, right?
I learned trial by fire. I learned really shooting sports while being at Wrigley Field.
And one of the things about sports photography is about action. You know, it's about, you know, catching the play, and you see that all the time. I mean, trying to get that moment where something happens. But what I really like about the exhibit is almost capturing the moments that aren't necessarily the slide in the third or the home run trot. I mean, there's something about the everyday aspect of baseball in the summer that you capture. I mean, that's the action you're going for.
Right. And I was lucky enough to learn how to pan and to shoot action, especially in an era where you couldn't look back and see what you just got. We're shooting transparency slide film. So it was all about, okay, you got a bracket for this guy. His skin tone is a little darker than this player. So
you had to adjust.
You had to adjust.
Wow.
And it wasn't until you got your film back the next day, you're like, oh man, that would have been a terrific shot, but it's out of focus.
Yeah, right.
Underexposed. So doing that every day, really, I learned shooting sports.
I mean,
there.
It's right on the cusp, right before digital photography starts, too. It's sort of like the end of an era there.
Absolutely. I was lucky enough, because of my relationship with Steve and the Cubs, Canon loaned me some of their early digital equipment back in like 98. These giant cameras that shot like, you know, 500K image or something. You know, it was ridiculous. But also, on the other hand, I loved the other stories. You know, like I said, the walking around the ballpark, wandering around the bleachers, talking to people, and just getting all of those little pieces of the game.
Longtime photographer Andy Jaffaioni is in studio with me. Her exhibit is at the G-Man Tavern, which was renamed the old Gingerman, just right there where Clark and Racine come together, searching for the Pink Poodle, Life with the Cubs, 96 to 99. There's going to be a big event on Thursday night. Doors open at 6 o'clock with a special performance from Cubs organist Gary Pressey, who will be there. Andy will be there as well. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue our conversation here on The Download. Stay with us. It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Searching for the Pink Poodle, Life with the Cubs, 96 to 99. It's a new photo exhibit. Longtime photographer Andy Jaffaioni, who is going to be at the special sort of opening at the G-Man Tavern up on Clark Street this Thursday night with a special performance from Cubs organist Gary Pressey. But this is a special 4-year time we've been talking about, the idea that there's something magical about Cubs history that happened in the late 90s. It almost ended an era, because what we've seen in the last couple decades has been more, I don't want to say corporate, but a more suited up kind of baseball experience, more in line with what you see around Major League Baseball. What your collection captures, it almost feels like it'd be in the 70s. It almost feels like it could be in the 60s, but it is 96 through 99.
That's great. I love that. It's a reflection of the teams, too. I mean, you think of, like, Gary Gaetti. I mean, where would a Gary Gaetti fit into this current Cubs team? I mean, these are, like, young, fresh,
athletic
guys, and you have, you know, like Terry Mulholland. I mean, like these journeymen. I mean, they're that 98 team is the old beater that you just kept throwing a can of oil in. You're like, push it out. Let's see what happens. If it gets there, fantastic. I don't know if we'll be able to get back in. I love that. That 98 team was such a special team.
And there's a lot that goes into, obviously, the specialness of the 98 team, including a home run chase, which you to be able to document in photographs. I mean, at the time when that was happening, when there just seemed to be this interest once again in Chicago Cubs baseball because of what Sammy Sosa was doing, what was that like to be in the building and to be capturing it?
That was really exciting. And I actually, for the first time, was getting calls like, do you think maybe you can shoot this for us? I mean, it opened up some little freelance opportunities, which as a young photographer, I was like, this is incredible. I still remember when Sosa hit the 2 home runs in one game, and I was in the stands talking to someone. I was like, oh my God, there's one. And I'm running, trying to get back to the field. It was like every at-bat, people were on the edge of their seat.
Right?
He's going to do it. He's going to do it. And you had to, like, position yourself. Where are you going to be? Do you want the wide shot? Do you want the tight shot? Do you want him – you want the reaction of him coming into home plate? It was an exciting time.
And for – I mean, also, you know, an exciting time, but also a sensitive time in the sense that some of Chicago's greats, especially around Wrigley Field, passed on. Harry Carey, Jack Brickhouse, both right – one after another.
Right.
But talk about that, because you were able to capture – you know, the final days of Harry Carey, who always went down to the field, who was a part of it. I mean, he was a part of the Cubs team. It's almost like, you know, when he passed on, a generation, an era changed.
Absolutely. It was like they lost a team member. I mean, he never knew my name, but he would always say, hey, little girl, and give me a sloppy kiss. And it was like, that's Harry Carey. That is fantastic. You know, he's like the grandfather you always wanted. I was lucky enough to be at his funeral and go to the after party at Harry Carey's, and I got to meet a lot of his family. It was really special to see him and watch him broadcast, and then just to see how he was around the players, because he was like another member of the team.
For you, Andy, I mean, to come in, to work with Steve, to be a part of this team in the way that you were taking, you know, photographs, when you look back on that, now we're coming up on 20 years and here comes the photo exhibit. I mean, do you consider yourself part of that family? Do you consider yourself as, you know, as a photographer who was there, who was learning on the fly? Are those the sort of the moments that you think about when you think about, you know, being part of a baseball family?
Absolutely. Again, it's taken me like 20 years to really understand just how incredibly lucky and important that opportunity was to see, I mean, really baseball, like we were saying, how it was, and it kind of never will really be. And it was such a special time. And yeah, I actually did feel like I was part of it. I got to know some of the guys, like Mickey Morandini was a great guy. Doug Glanville was such a smart, fun guy. Of course, Mark Grace.
Seeing
Sandberg come back. I mean, seeing Sandberg come back was great. I mean, I actually was lucky enough to shoot his retirement party. And to see him actually crack jokes and tell stories in front of his family and friends was amazing. Because you never saw that side of Sandberg.
Yeah, right. It's pretty endearing to look at the photography and think about that time. For you, you know, you had the chance to also be a scoreboard operator. You were able to be in the PA booth. You know, that's, you know, you have a good relationship with Gary from Gary Pressing. So, you know, the life that you had around Wrigley Field, and really an old Wrigley Field, different than what it is today. Talk about what your remembrances of it and what you will take away from that experience.
Well, I start thinking that, wow, I spent like my early adult life really at Wrigley Field. I mean, probably about 15 years of my life I spent in and around that ballpark. And it really is like a family member in a way. That experience was almost like a tangible thing because you don't just work there. It's such an emotional connection because you get involved. You get to know the people. Even if it's the guy sweeping after the game, you get to know everyone. And it's a long season. You're there sometimes 15 days in a row. You have rain delays. You're there. I mean, you see a lot of these people more than your family. And you have a lot of time to sit around and talk.
For you, as you mentioned, you grew up in Philly. But you spent your young adult life at Wrigley Field. allegiances? I mean, do you consider yourself a Cubs fan? I mean, here in 2016, as they go for it all at Wrigley Field, a different Wrigley Field, a different environment. Obviously, as you see that, it's amazing to see what Wrigley Field is today. But where are your allegiances?
You know, it's hard to say, but I have to say that there's always a part of me that the Cubs hold a big part of my heart, because I really did. I saw so much and felt so much a part of the struggles and the triumphs that there's definitely a big part of my heart that is always rooting for them. But I am a baseball fan at heart, and I know people don't like to hear it. I love that there are two teams in this city. I mean, I grew up seeing ball games in a stadium with AstroTurf, so I was, right. You know, moving here, I was like, we have two teams. And people are like, you can't like both teams. You got to be Sox or Cubs. And it's like, but I didn't grow up here, so yeah. Can I like them both?
Yes, you can. Don't let the bullies bully. last question I have for you is just searching for the pink poodle. I'm not a huge baseball aficionado when it comes to legend. Talk about the pink poodle.
That was a nickname for the old press dining room. And I know guys like Jack Brookhouse and Harry Carey, they would go in and actually have a cocktail at the Pink Poodle after the game, and all the sports writers. And apparently they kind of had to get rid of the cocktail program because, let's be honest, sports writers sometimes overindulge. And they said, you know what, we're losing a lot of money here. Let's dial it back.
We either can charge $12 for these cocktails or get rid of it. Let's get rid of it. That's what happened. All right. The exhibit is called Searching for the Pink Poodle, Life with the Cubs, 1996 to 1999. It's the photographs of Andy Jaffioni. She will be at the G-Man Tavern, which is right north of Metro on Clark Street, right across from the ballpark. On Thursday night, doors open at 6 o'clock. There'll be a special performance from Cubs organist Gary Pressey. Andy, thanks so much for coming in and talking about the exhibit, and good luck with it up at the G-Man.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure.